If you would please open to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. We're taking a little break from our series in the book of Acts to consider a few of the thousands of promises that we find in God's Word, that promises for believers, for those who know Christ as Savior. Wonderful promises for us to consider. You know, if you ever hit a spiritual dry spot in your Christian life, if you're feeling a little down and need a little encouragement, how better to spend your time than to consider some of the promises that God has given to you. Today we're going to consider a promise that really ought to encourage us all as believers. Today we consider the promise of guaranteed salvation. Hebrews 7. In verse 22 through 25. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, to come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this precious portion of Scripture that is so encouraging to us as believers, to consider that we're saved and that Jesus is our Savior, and to consider his role as our high priest, a priesthood that endures forever. We thank you, Lord, that our salvation that we have in Christ is a guaranteed salvation. And I pray, Lord, that we will all come away from today's study greatly encouraged. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a well-known fact that many Christians do struggle with assurance of salvation. In fact, for some, the struggle is prolonged and very hard and difficult, and even paralyzing to their Christian life. One Christian woman confesses, quote, "As a young girl and during my early teen years, I began to struggle with doubts about my salvation. Maybe it was because I got saved at a young age, or maybe it was because I'm a naturally worrisome and anxious person. Whatever the reason, Satan was really after my heart and mind in this area. I remember lying awake at night worrying that the rapture would happen and my whole family would be taken without me. Every time I heard a message on hell or the rapture, I would wonder deep down inside, am I truly saved? Am I really on my way to heaven? What if?" And on the questions and worries would go. One prominent Christian man once admitted, "I must confess here with sorrow that I have seasons of despondency and depression of spirit, which I trust none of you are called to suffer. At such times I have doubted my interest in Christ, my calling, my election, my perseverance, my Savior's blood, and my Father's love." Guess who said that? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, known by many as the Prince of Preachers. Dear Christian, if you struggle with doubts about your salvation, struggle no longer. You need not struggle. For with Jesus as your high priest, salvation is forever guaranteed. One Bible commentator refers to Hebrews 7:25 as one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. And I would agree with them. In an economy of words and with sterling clarity, it eloquently describes the full reality of our guaranteed salvation. This verse alone provides all the assurance that you need to put all of your doubts to rest. Have you any doubt that Jesus saves? Hebrews 7:25. Have you any doubts that you are saved? Hebrews 7:25. Have you any doubt that once saved, always saved? Hebrews 7:25. Does your heart ache with uncertainty and your head throb with doubt? Would you like to have a cure for those spiritual aches and pains? Hebrews 7:25. Just take a full dose of Hebrews 7:25 and call me in the morning. It'll cure all of those aches and pains. So with Jesus as your high priest, salvation is forever guaranteed. Let us first consider the guarantee of our salvation. We find that in verse 22. It informs us that Jesus is the surety. That word means guarantee. He himself is the guarantee of our salvation. He is the guarantee of a better covenant, as it's put there. The new covenant in Christ is far better than the old covenant of the law. We see this stated in verse 19 of the chapter. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And so Jesus himself is the guarantee that the new covenant accomplishes true salvation. It gets it done. And he's the guarantee of that. Through Jesus, sinners are completely reconciled to God. And verse 25 informs us that as our great high priest, Jesus is able to save. He is able to save. And in the context of that verse, we learn that he's able to save on the basis of three things. First of all, he's able to save on the basis of his enduring priesthood. That's what we see there in verses 23 through 24. Those verses strike quite a contrast between the old covenant priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, and the new covenant priesthood of Christ. Quite a contrast. The old priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, under that priesthood, there were many high priests. Because they kept dying off, you see. They had to be replaced. They kept dying off, and so they needed a new high priest under the Levitical priesthood. According to Jewish historian Josephus, there was a succession of 83 high priests from Aaron all the way to the destruction of the temple in AD 70. 83. They kept dying off and had to be replaced. But here's the contrast. Jesus is high priest of a new order, a forever enduring order. And he is high priest forever. It's an unchangeable priesthood. There's no succession here. Nobody before Christ or after Christ. He's the only one, and he's the only one you need. Let's look at verses 14 through 16 in this chapter. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Speaking of Christ, an endless life. And so he's in this Melchizedekian order. We could go into that. We've studied that in the past on other occasions. I won't go into that today. But Jesus is the high priest of the new covenant. It's an unchangeable priesthood. And he lives on forever. He's the only high priest we need. William Lane, one commentator, rightly concludes, quote, "The perfection and eternity of the salvation he mediates is guaranteed by the unassailable character of his priesthood." And so on the basis of his enduring priesthood, he is able to save. Secondly, on the basis of his enduring holiness, he is able to save. Look at verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. You see, Jesus is the perfect high priest. He is holy, forever holy, guiltless, unstained by sin and sinners, and exalted above the heavens forever. He is the perfect high priest forever. What a contrast to those Levitical priests. For those Levitical priests were sinners themselves. They even had to atone for their own sin first and then for the sins of the people. Not Jesus. He never sinned. Holy, perfect, sinless Son of God who died on the cross to pay for the sins of others. So he's able to save on the basis of his enduring holiness. And thirdly, he's able to save on the basis of his enduring sacrifice. We see that in verse 27. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Those Levitical high priests had to offer for sin daily, repeatedly, day after day after day. Their sacrifice had really no enduring effect to it, did it? Their sacrifice was merely a shadow of the one atoning sacrifice that would matter, that of Christ. I'd like you to see this if you'll just look over in Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read several verses here out of this chapter that help us to see that what the Levitical priests were doing in the Old Testament and making those sacrifices was really just a shadow of Jesus' sacrifice to come. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Couldn't get it done. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Doesn't get it done. What gets it done? Go down to verse 9. Then said he, Lo, I am come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This is what your great high priest has done, believer. He has accomplished it. He's gotten it done. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are saved. And you're saved forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is your great high priest forever. He's the perfect high priest who offered the perfect sacrifice himself to atone for sin, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So with Jesus as your high priest, salvation is forever guaranteed. Because we've seen that Jesus himself is your guarantee. He's the guarantee. He's fully able to save on the basis of his enduring priesthood, his enduring holiness, and his enduring sacrifice. Let's go on now and focus on the nature of our salvation as we see it in this passage. Let's go back to Hebrews 7 and verse 25, and let's look at that verse again. Wherefore he is able, and notice that wherefore is pointing back to the previous verses about the priesthood of Christ. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. I'd like you to see two things here about the nature of our salvation. First of all, it's an uttermost salvation. I just love that word. It's such a powerful word. It's an uttermost salvation. It means that Jesus saves completely and forever. It's an uttermost salvation. This really just, it ought to bless your socks off. It really should. But dear Christian, your salvation is complete and forever. It's an uttermost salvation. There's no need for you to doubt your salvation because Jesus saves to the uttermost. So don't doubt it. There's nothing else that needs to be done. Jesus did it all. He paid it all. There's nothing else you need to do to be saved. You're saved if you put your faith in him. And what he did to save you cannot be undone. You are held safely in the palm of his hand. As Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So parse that out. What does that say about your uttermost salvation? Jesus says that he's given you eternal life. Eternal life continues forever, okay? It's not interrupted and broken up. Once you're saved, always saved. So you're saved forever. He's given you eternal life. He says you'll never perish. So you cannot lose your salvation if Jesus says you'll never perish. It's an uttermost salvation. The other thing I want us to see about the nature of our salvation in this verse is that it is a through Christ salvation. Notice that in verse 25. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Those are important words. Important words. For you see, there is no other way to be reconciled to God. There is no other way to be saved. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus is the way. He's the only way. We must come to God through Christ. He is the new and living way. He is the only way. He is the one and only Redeemer and Savior. He is the only one who atones for sin. He is the one and only hope of our salvation. He alone holds the promise of eternal life given to us by God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We also have Titus 3, 5, and 6 and 7, which remind us that our salvation is through Christ. In Christ alone, you cannot add works to it. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's a mercy that he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's through Christ. It's through Christ. And because it's through Christ that gives us confidence that our salvation is sure, because it's through him, it doesn't depend on our works at all. It really depends on Christ. So our salvation is an uttermost salvation, and it is a through Christ salvation. And these two facts should give us the assurance that we need to know that having come to Christ by faith, we are forever saved. We cannot lose our salvation. We can be sure of it. It's not on the basis of our works, but solely on what Christ Himself accomplished on the cross. So with Jesus as your high priest, salvation is forever guaranteed. We've looked at the guarantee, that's Christ Himself. We've looked at the nature of our salvation. Let us now look at the security of our salvation in Christ. You see, those who think that they can lose their salvation come to that conclusion because they think their salvation somehow depends on them. They have to keep doing something. When in fact the security of their salvation depends solely on the faithfulness of the Savior. Again, we go back to Hebrews 7:25 and look at that verse again. Look at the end of that verse. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus, our great high priest, lives forever. Mark that fact. This is a fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. He lives today. Jesus ever lives. We do not worship a dead Savior. We worship an ever-living Savior. He arose from the dead and He lives forevermore. Paul writes about this in Romans 6:8. He says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God." So let's get this straight. Jesus died on the cross once. And He rose again and He lives forevermore. So for someone to doubt their salvation, to think that somehow they can lose their salvation, is basically making Jesus die again for them. We don't have to do that. It's essentially also doubting that Jesus ever lives. He's declared victory once for all over sin and death through His resurrection. His once for all victory over sin and death speaks forever to us of the certainty and the security of our salvation. And the person who has put their faith in Christ has, in the present tense, eternal life. It begins at the moment of salvation and it continues forever forward. So we see that Jesus ever lives, and we also see that Jesus ever intercedes. What a blessed thought. Jesus ever intercedes for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for you as your great high priest. The intercession of Christ speaks of His ongoing ministry as our great high priest. He ascended to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and there He ever lives to intercede for you and for me. Theologians call this the session of Christ. He is interceding for us. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And day by day, moment by moment, He intercedes for us. Charles Wesley beautifully captures Jesus' intercession in the words of his great hymn, "Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety stands. Before the throne, my surety stands. My name is written on His hands." If you know Christ as Savior, this is true for you. Your surety, your guarantee, the guarantee of your salvation in living flesh is there at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you constantly. Romans chapter 8 makes it so very clear that the security of our salvation does not depend on us. It depends on the faithfulness of God as our justifier and on the faithfulness of Christ as our intercessor. Romans 8:33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." So it's the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ that provide the security of your salvation. Not you. Not what you do. But because of what the Father has done in justifying you, what the Son has done and continues to do in interceding for you. A saved person who doubts their salvation really calls into question the faithfulness of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if that is where you struggle, if you struggle with assurance of your salvation, if you struggle with these kind of doubts, here's the message: doubt no longer. It doesn't depend on you and your faithfulness. It depends on God and His faithfulness and of the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the faithfulness of Christ, who ever lives and makes intercession for you. So with Jesus as your high priest, salvation is forever guaranteed. It's forever guaranteed. It is a sure thing. The guarantee of our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's the guarantee. The nature of our salvation is that we are saved to the uttermost and that we are saved through Christ. He is the power of salvation. He's the one who's accomplished it. And the security of our salvation is found in the fact that Jesus forever lives and forever intercedes for us. Now let me just pause and say that the last thing I would want to do today with a message like this would be to give false assurance to someone who is not truly saved. Not everyone is saved. In fact, if we look back at Hebrews 7:25, it makes it clear who is saved. It says, those who are saved are the ones who come unto God through Christ. This makes it very clear, and it implies a couple things. It implies, first of all, that a person becomes aware of the fact that they've strayed from God and they need to come back to God. They need to come to God. And this involves the awareness of one's sin and one's need for reconciliation to God. Ultimately, the need for a Savior. And that brings us to the second implication. A person must come to God through the only means that God Himself has provided, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Faith in what Christ did in dying on the cross to pay for our sin. His blood atoned for our sin. And as we put our faith in Him, He saves us. So if you're in that category where you've never come to that point in your life where you have recognized your own sin, your own need for a Savior, and you've come to God and you've put your faith in Christ, take care of that today. Don't put it off. Do it today. Come to faith in Christ. Some doubt their salvation because they've never been saved. And for those people, they need to come to that point of saving faith first. But for everyone who has put their trust in Christ, this message really is for you. It's an encouraging message, a message that should give you the assurance of your salvation. Your salvation is forever guaranteed Don't doubt it. You need to stop focusing on what you have and haven't done and start focusing on what Christ has done for you. If you do that, you will have the assurance of your salvation. For Jesus himself has secured your salvation. He's the guarantee of it. You cannot lose your salvation. He's guaranteed it. There's nothing lacking in your salvation because Jesus has saved you to the uttermost. Your salvation cannot be taken away from you because you are held securely in his hand and he's not going to let go. Jesus is your ever-living intercessor. Let that be a comfort to you and assure you of your salvation. I've used this illustration before, but I think it bears repeating. It comes from John Bunyan's great allegory, Pilgrim's Progress. On this occasion, Christian and Hopeful decide to leave the main highway and follow another path which seemed more comfortable to them. But this path led them into the territory of Giant Despair, who owned Doubting Castle. Giant Despair takes them prisoner and puts them into his dungeon. For the time, it seemed as if despair had defeated them. One Saturday, about midnight, they began to pray. And they continued their prayer vigil until dawn. Just before daybreak, Christian suddenly blurted out, "What a fool am I thus to lie in a stinking dungeon when I may as well be at liberty? I have a key in my bosom called Promise that will, I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle." And his companion, Hopeful, said to him, "That's good news. Good brother, pluck it out of thy bosom and try." And indeed it was true. That key, called Promise, opened every door and set them free from their doubts. Dear Christian, do not lie rotting in the stinking dungeon of Doubting Castle. Use the key called Promise that God has given to you. And this is your promise. With Jesus as your high priest, your salvation is forever guaranteed. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this encouragement from your word today. We thank you for how it just speaks to our hearts and reminds us how secure we are in Christ. And Lord, I pray for those who may struggle with assurance of salvation. I pray that this message will be a real help and comfort to them, will redirect their thinking away from themselves and onto their Savior, who is the guarantee of their salvation. And Lord, I pray for any who have not come to that point of saving faith, of realizing their need for a Savior and coming to him in saving faith. I pray that you will speak to them in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.